grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is the second lesson recorded in Romans chapter 8. Dearly loved by God in Christ. This afternoon, when I begin reading this book about Shakespeare called The Will of the World, I'm not going to begin reading in the middle. None of us begins reading a book in the middle. Or do we? How often on Sunday morning, when we have our lessons, the three, including usually the sermon text, begin at chapter 1, verse 1. That doesn't always really make a lot of difference, particularly when we think about the Gospels. We can start our Gospel lesson pretty much anywhere, pick up on the account of Jesus and something special he did there to reveal himself as our God, to reveal something that he did to redeem us from our sins. And then with a little accompanying background, we pretty much understand the lesson. That's not so true with the epistles. Thinking particularly this morning of our second lesson in Romans chapter 8. And what makes that a little doubly evident this morning is that it begins with the word therefore. Therefore implies that what follows is built on what precedes. And we don't know what precedes. Well, what precedes is Paul's discussion about the inward struggle that we all have with our sinful nature. Paul wrote, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." We can all relate to that, can't we? And so Paul now continues on in our text. Because that reality that when I want to do good and evil is right there with me can be troubling. And so Paul now, therefore, comforts us and assures us. We are of two minds, yet acquitted in Christ. We see, first of all, that Christ means death to the law of sin, and secondly, that the Spirit means life to those who walk in Him. Before we look at those two minds that we have as Christians, please be assured of this. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even though you and I continue daily to sin, even though we know and confess that we deserve nothing but God's wrath, and we deserve to spend eternity separated from God in hell, God has spoken this consolation over us in Christ. We are acquitted in Christ. There is no condemnation for the children of God. And this acquittal removes those troubling thoughts that Satan uses against us and tries to wedge in between us and our guarantee of eternal life. But Christians are of two minds. We have a mind of the flesh, literally a mind that concentrates on the things that have to do with the flesh. And we also have the mind of the Spirit. In other words, we have a mind that is on the things that the Spirit does and has for us and wants us to believe and gives us faith in those things. It is that second mind that governs us. We are of two minds, but it is the mind of the Spirit that governs us in our lives as Christians. When we talk about the mind of the flesh, we are talking about a mind that leads to sin and death. Paul talks about the mind, the sinful mind, being hostile to God. He talks about the law of sin and death that goes with the law of the mind. And here, law doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. It means law of something that has to be. When we think about the mind of our flesh that is hostile to God, the only thing that that mind leads to is sin. The only thing that mind leads to is death. That mind has no interest or no ability in obeying God's holy will. So now the question is, how do I get my mind off of that? How do I keep my mind from being governed by concern of the flesh? Well, Paul says the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, has killed the mind of the flesh. The Spirit of life has set me free from my earthly flesh's law of sin and death. Paul writes, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, now he means the Ten Commandments, was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be an offering for sin, or a sin offering. The fleshly mind also leads to sin and death, because the mind of the flesh tells me, keep trying to keep the commandments to be saved. Keep trying to be saved by what you do. And when that happens, what law follows? The law of sin. The law of death. The Spirit of the law of life. And there again, we understand law as the way it has to be. When God gives us the Holy Spirit through the gospel, there has to be life, because it comes from the life-giving Spirit. It gives us the life of Christ. The life of Christ in his sacrifice that fulfilled the law, that defeated sin, that overcame death. And so the Spirit of life now has destroyed the spirit of sin and death in us. We still are of two minds. But that old mind, the mind of our old Adam, we don't have our minds on fulfilling the lusts of our flesh anymore. We don't have our minds on accumulating riches and building power and staying in this world. We don't have our minds set on doing what is good for us and harmful to our neighbors. Rather, we have our mind on those righteous requirements of the law that Christ did for us and the Spirit of life has now given to us. So we are of two minds, yet we are acquitted by Christ. And the Spirit gives us that acquittal in its power and its blessing, so that you and I now keep our minds on the things of the Spirit, the things that the Spirit wants us to think about and know and put into practice in our lives. We have seen that Christ means death to the law of sin and death, and that the Spirit means life to those who walk in him. Dr. Martin Luther used the example here as he was talking about this passage of a man who was very ill and thought that by drinking wine that would cure him, even though he really needed help from outside of himself. So he just kept drinking wine and drinking wine, not realizing that it wasn't doing him any good and probably more harm, because he wasn't seeking the cure from outside of himself. Luther said and compared that to someone who is still always trying to be saved by the law, by someone who is still following that law of the sinful mind, ignoring what God has done and trying to just keep drinking in your own righteousness and in your own works, rather than looking for the cure from outside of ourselves, which is Christ. But then the man realized the error of his ways, and he went to a doctor and was cured of his illness. And then he just drank wine because he enjoyed it. Then he just drank wine because it was good, and he enjoyed it and took pleasure in it. And Luther said, after you and I have been cured by the acquittal of Christ, now we keep doing good works because we enjoy it. Now we do God's will because we love it. Now we do God's will because of the love that Christ has had for us and the love that we have for Christ. Not trying to save ourselves by that, but having been saved in that spirit of life, just drinking in God's holy will and then sharing it with others. It is characteristic of the Christian mind not to have the mind on the things of the flesh, the things of the body, the things of this world. It is characteristic of the Christian mind to have our mind on the things of the Spirit, particularly that acquittal that we have in Christ that the Spirit gives us in the gospel. Our minds as Christians are on the common good. Our minds oppose the common sins. Our minds don't seek our own needs, but our minds seek the needs of others. They who have the Spirit, Paul says, belong to God and are alive. They who don't have the Spirit are dead and are still living under the law of sin and death. As Christians who have the mind of the Spirit of life ruling in our heart, we no longer fear death. We may be afraid of the uncertainty of the process of dying, but we're certainly not afraid to be dead, because we know that we'll be in heaven. And it's also true that with that mind of the Spirit, we don't begin to love this life, this tempting life that we talked about in Bible study this morning, that we don't fall in love with this life, but keep our eyes and our faith focused on our home in heaven, where we will spend eternity. They who have their mind on the flesh are dead. They who have their minds on what the Spirit is minded of have life. We Christians still are of two minds. In our old Adam, the mind of the flesh, and in the new man, the mind of the Spirit. But we are acquitted in Christ and dead to the old Adam. We hate our sinful nature, don't we? We can't stand and condemn its urgings to put our minds on the things of the flesh. And so we daily repent of our sins. We daily are comforted by that powerful gospel of Christ that gives us life and peace. Paul writes, but if Christ, and here we can translate the word if as since, but since Christ lives in you, your body is dead, including our fleshly mind. Your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Yes, we may still be of two minds, but we are only like-minded with the Holy Spirit, who through the gospel has given us life and peace in Jesus Christ, who offered himself for our sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.